Lumot présente.
Welcome to Textual Awakening, the podcast where we investigate and discuss the intersection between gender, sexuality, genre, and film history. I'm Emma Crettle.
And I'm Olivia Curry. Welcome back to Textual Awakenings. Last week we talked about psychosexual thrillers from the 80s and 90s. There's a lot of Michael Douglas. And this week we're actually both quarantining, so the sound quality might be a little bit off, but we're making it work. This week we're going to be talking about the rape revenge film.
And we're specifically going to be talking about the film's Lipstick, Deliverance, I Spit on Your Grave, the 1977 and 2010 versions, Miss 45, American Mary, Revenge, and Elle. So basically, the rape revenge film is a pretty simple concept. It's just pretty much any film that involves someone getting raped, and then either them or a loved one seeks revenge against the perpetrator. So it's a pretty simple concept, and we're also going to be mostly talking about it in the context of Carol Clover's text, Getting Even, from her book Men, Women, and Chainsaws, which is studied quite a bit in horror academia. Even though we're mostly going to be studying this subgenre in terms of horror, it can really take on any genre form because it's more, I guess, not like a plot element, but it's really more about there being a rape and a revenge as opposed to there being, you know, really specific genre traits. So a couple of the films we're going to be talking about might fit in more to, I guess, the action or thriller genre categorizations.
Yeah. Definitely so, yeah. Exploitation, like that subgenre.
Yes, that too. Definitely, yeah. Like a couple of them.
What was like the first rape revenge film?
Well, the subgenre started probably more around the 70s, because depictions of rape were always a thing in film, like since the beginning. Like in Birth of a Nation,
Yeah. There's
an attempted rape scene. And then what's interesting is that when the production code was put in place, depictions of rape were kind of less present. When the 60s came around, depictions of rape became a lot more prominent again. Like you have films like A Clockwork Orange, where it's just like really apparent, but it's also kind of used more as a plot point than anything. Like it doesn't really add that much to the film.
Aside from being like,
Alex is a bad guy. And it's really the same with a lot of late Hitchcock films, which is something that's actually mentioned a lot in pretty much every text about rape revenge films. Carol Clover specifically mentions Frenzy. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah, I have. I wrote an essay on it.
Really? Okay, nice. Well, you remember.
I was like, I'm going to write an essay on that one, and I hadn't seen it, and...
What were your thoughts on it?
It was definitely interesting. I really liked, like, I wrote about the long takes in it because I liked that part of it, but it was super, like, aggressive compared to other Hitchcock films.
Yeah, and you know that scene, the rape scene specifically? Really kind of, I remember seeing it before I had read any of these texts, and I was just, like, kind of grossed out by it, like, way more than I normally am in a lot of other rape scenes in films.
Yeah, because, it's really weird. I think it's because, I was reading a lot about it when I wrote it, and he was trying to, like, it being one of his last films, like, trying to revert the, like, preconceived notions about his style and, like, how he alluded to things in Psycho. Like, he wanted to just, like, show everything, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, Carol Clover in Getting Even mentions the entire rape scene is just close-up shots of body parts. And it's really kind of odd the way it's done, so it kind of looks more like the body is just, like, object.
It's very unsettling.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And just not to touch too much on this, but I know we talked a little bit about Marnie in a previous podcast, and that's, like, a similar thing where there's, like, rape scene that's very just passing. So basically what all this leads me to get into is that in a lot of these films in the 60s and 70s, rape, and even like now it's still a thing where rape is more of a narrative device, just kind of showing that, you know, someone is bad. For example, like, so this is a bad character, this is an evil guy.
Like an opposite of, like, save the cat.
Sorry?
Like, opposite of, like, save the cat thing.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Hero. And like, this guy's like, a bad guy because he raped someone.
Exactly, and then the person who gets raped, it's not like, it's just like, they're raped, and that's, yeah, that's their storyline. Then the rape revenge film started becoming a thing, mostly in the 1970s. One of the earlier ones, which we're not going to really talk about, is The Last House on the Left, which came out in 1972. But the films mainly started off with victims, who were more commonly female, being avenged. And then after that, the genre kind of shifted into these victims having to, you know, get their own revenge. And an early film that was portraying this was Lipstick, which we can talk about right now.
Yeah, I really liked the aesthetic of that one. That was, it was cool.
And I didn't realize, because I hadn't heard too much of it, but it was like a really popular mainstream film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was actually talking about it with my parents, and I was like to my mom, like, hey, have you seen Lipstick? And she was like, oh, yeah, the one with the model, Margot, I forget her last name.
Hemingway or something?
Yeah, Margot Hemingway. And then, yeah, my dad, too, is like, oh, Margot Hemingway. And then, yeah, so it was... That one and Deliverance are both, like, probably two of the most mainstream, well-known rape revenge films, which is interesting.
I love the, like, title sequence with the sign that, like, shifted and said Lipstick. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But, also, like, Deliverance is one of those films that even before I saw it, I was, like watching cartoons and stuff as a kid, like we would always see references to it. So when I watched it, I was like, oh, that's where that comes from, you know?
Yeah, that one was really big. It's an interesting take. That's one of the ones where like, it is a rape revenge film and it is kind of very straightforward, but there's like a lot more going on than just, I guess, you know, like revenge or I spit on your grave, where it's just a very clear cut. This happens, then this happens, if that
makes sense. I don't know if I liked the original I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, a lot of rape and, like, not as much revenge, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that was a problem that a lot of people had with it when it came out. And I've actually seen that one, like, in a classroom setting, and a lot of people were really upset by it.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that, like, it doesn't necessarily upset me that much. I think, honestly, out of, like, a lot of the films we saw, I thought it handled the whole rape-revenge plot as best as it can, just because it's kind of, I don't know, you can argue that a lot of them are kind of just, like, tasteless just in their nature.
Yeah, like which ones?
Like, specifically Revenge and the new I Spit on Your Grave, the 2010 I Spit on Your Grave, I didn't love.
Yeah, I watched Revenge right before I watched the original I Spit on Your Grave, and I really liked it, but that's just because I like action movies, you know?
Yeah, right. And
it had that last scene where they were, like, there was, like, all that blood, and I thought that was really cool.
Right, yeah. See, I saw it right after I had seen, like, three other rape revenge films.
Yeah.
And I was, like, tired of it, and when I saw that, I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I've had enough for the day.
I also thought it was, I like the fact in Revenge versus some of the other ones, like Deliverance and I Spit on Your Grave, and the rapists in those two are, like, poor people.
Yes,
and, like,
yeah.
And the rapists in Revenge are, like, rich people, so I thought that was true. Honestly a lot more, like, accurate.
Yeah, like, a lot of people like Revenge because it kind of takes... some, I guess, tropes of the genre and kind of, like, switches them up a bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt like it kind of pushed it to a point where, like, it fell into other tropes, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a little, like, ridiculous. Like, when she does the drugs and starts hallucinating, that was a little bit ridiculous.
And just, I don't know, it was kind of like, there's a few of these films that get to the point where it's just not believable anymore, but her... falling off the cliff and then getting impaled and then
No, that was, like,
living through that was
completely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would have never survived that.
But I think it's interesting that Lipstick and Deliverance would be two of, like, the most famous rape revenge films, seeing as they're really the only two on this list. I guess you can argue revenge, but that aren't horror films.
Ah, yeah.
So, sure. Yeah,
I've heard Deliverance, like, sometimes categorizes horror, but I guess it is definitely, like, more of a thriller.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the same with Lipstick. Like, Lipstick doesn't get... I mean, I guess the end?
Yeah, but it's, like very, it's like, 70s, the way it's, like, slow motion, he gets shot, you know? Yeah.
But 70s. For the most part, it's kind of just, like, a courtroom drama.
Yeah.
And that one was also weird to see because the revenge part is so short.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that because I had read the description before seeing it. And it was like, you know, there's a model who gets raped and then goes to court. And then the perpetrator attacks her sister. So that's what I was expecting just from the beginning. But that doesn't really happen until like the last, 10 minutes of the film?
Yeah.
Any thoughts about how that was handled?
I thought it, for the time, I was very surprised that it, like, I guess how almost politically correct it was, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I was expecting a little bit more violence, too.
It was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah. I watched it right after watching Miss 45.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that one was, I loved that movie. That was
me
awesome.
Me too. And they're like completely like polar opposite takes on it.
Yeah, and but very similar in that it's like kind of the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Like there's that one guy that wants to take her picture in Miss 45.
Right, yes.
She just kills him like immediately.
This is like, Lipstick is kind of like, if you're talking like laws, the correct way to go about this situation, it's like definitely the more tame take on the rape revenge film.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of sad too at the same time because you just see the character going through the whole court system and half, like most of the movie is that, and then it kind of just all fails.
Yeah, so she it feels a little bit like a lot of them feel like stories of women like self-actualizing, you know, and that one kind of feels like a story about like a woman being humiliated and then finally in the very last 10 minutes self-actualizing, but it's like,
yeah, and then it kind of just all wraps up very fast, or it's like you're not guilty, and then that's the whole film.
It definitely would have been weird if it ended like right after like the court stuff.
Yeah, that would have been a depressing, very, like, ending.
Depressing.
But actually, Carol Clover wrote about Lipstick. Basically, she's talking about I Spit on Your Grave being like this really polarizing take on the rape revenge film, and then goes and says, with Lipstick, the rape revenge tradition enters the mainstream. In the spate of rape revenge films that follow in the late 70s and 80s, rape becomes a problem for women to solve themselves. So then that kind of leads into what a lot of the discourse is when it comes to rape revenge films. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of horror scholars, just film scholars in general, have a problem with the fact that the victims of rape in these films are really just having to be on their own fighting for themselves. Like, it's their problem.
Yeah, that's so true. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, and then they're kind of portrayed just as violent as the perpetrators.
Yeah.
So that's a massive problem that people have. And a lot of people have that problem with Miss 45. In all the more academic texts I read about it. Like, there was a lot more negativity towards it than I thought there would be, but...
Yeah, that's definitely, like, a take I didn't even really think about while watching them, because it's so satisfying, like...
I know, yeah.
Even watching the new I Spit on Your Grave, where the ways that she, like, murders them are, like, so beyond, like, disturbing and messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, they deserve it, and it's super fun to watch, you know?
I know, yeah, but a lot of people have the problem where it's like, well, this gets into a lot of gender study stuff that I don't think still holds up, but a lot of the time, people are, people say, like, oh, the female victim is becoming more and more, like, male through the violence that she enacts on to the rape perpetrators in the first place. But yeah, so that leads to the question, does the rape revenge film shift responsibility from the rapist to the victim? Because that's a question that keeps coming back in my research. I don't think so, but...
I don't think so either, because I feel like in a lot of them, like, the rapist is given so many chances to not do it, you know?
Yeah.
And to, like, be absolved a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, like, the point is, like, them being villains, like, they don't ever take those chances because they're just, like, evil
monsters. And that's, like... a big point in I Spit on Your Grave with Matthew's character.
Which one's Matthew?
Matthew's the mentally disabled character.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's like a big... And they really try to make that more apparent, I find, in the 2010 version of the film. Because in the original version, they really want, like, they're like, oh, Matthew, you need to rape Jennifer. And he's like, no, this makes me uncomfortable. But he ends up doing it. And then that's it. And then he has to go, you know... kill her and he can't do it because he like, pities her or something. But in the 2010 version, when it's done, like, you know, you have him like throwing up, you have him being like all remorseful, you have him like seeing Jennifer in the forest when she's not really there and just being like haunted by his actions. And a lot of people had trouble, I guess, I don't know about the 2010 version, but at least in the 1976 or 7, they were like, oh, can this character really be held accountable for his actions when he's like mentally disabled and was kind of forced to do it? So that was just, yeah, something that was being thrown around a lot in the original criticisms of the film.
It's definitely like, I don't really know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like it's justified when she kills him.
Yeah.
But it's, like, hard to say if that's, like, a product of, you know, the characters, like, where he grew up or his friends or, like, him internally.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It feels like there's sort of this question of, like, how many times have they done this before, you know?
That's true, yeah. I actually, yeah, I never thought about that in the context of I Spit on Your Grave. So yeah, I'm gonna go back to the Clover text. So she basically describes in these films... there's the male-female axis, and then there's the city-country axis in both of these films. And she really goes into that. There's, like, a good section on it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the most offensive part of those movies is how the people from the country are, like, generalized and treated.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and that was, again, another big criticism. Aside from Matthew's character, people were pretty offended by the fact that, you know, these are, like, country bumpkins...
Yeah, and that it's so, like, normalized for them, and the only, like, reasoning and, like, backstory they have is just, like, oh, they're from the country, so they're like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, like, I'm kind of, we live in a time where, like, villains are given such, like, amazing backstories and stuff that when it's that one-dimensional, it almost, like, feels, not, like, offensive, but,
it's like a caricature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, at the same time, like, it's just a very simple film.
Yeah.
It's, like, nothing is elaborated on. Like, you know, and it's, I guess, kind of the same with Deliverance, too. Like, you know, these people are city people. These people are country people.
Yeah.
Did you have an issue with the length of the rape scene? Did you find it, like, in any way, like, offensive? It is offensive, but, like, how did you react to it?
Personally? I mean, like... yeah, I don't really, like, I mean, my favorite movie is, like, Ichi the Killer, so, I mean, rape scenes are not, like, that disturbing to me, because, you know, it's a movie and it's all, like, fake, but I was just, mm-hmm. like, okay, when are we gonna get to the, like, revenge violence rather than the, like, you know, the rape violence, I guess, you know? And it was, like, it just really went on and on.
I know, yeah, and then when you think it's over, it just starts again, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was done on purpose because the director of that film was really just wanted people watching the film to just really take in just how bad the actions were
That worked. I mean, like, nobody's looking at that and they're like, the rapists are, like, in any way right about any of it, you know?
Yes. Yeah, and it's really, like, as opposed to, you know, films like we were talking about before, like Frenzy, or Clover also mentioned Straw Dogs, which is
I haven't seen that one. I have it on VHS, though, but I haven't seen
it. Do you? Okay, yeah. I haven't seen it either, but a lot of people, too, a lot of horror scholars also talk about the fact that that film isn't great in the sense that it really, it perpetuates the idea that, like, the victim was actually enjoying the rape. Also, the director believes that, you know, some people might get turned on by rape scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So he really tried to make it as, like, disgusting.
I don't know if this...
And, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was... Sorry to interrupt. If it was before or after, like, the whole Ted Bundy thing, but I know that because a lot of, like, or I don't know if it was just Ted Bundy or other serial killers were kind of blaming, like, their murders on, like, violent films. I know that it was, a big... There was a big crusade against them at a certain point. I have this other movie on VHS that I would have never, ever watched if I didn't just find it. It's called Total Impact, I think. And it was, like... I think that movie put kind of a weird taste in my mouth for rape revenge films just because... Like, it's about a woman who, like, goes out at night, like, purposely to get raped and then kills the rapists.
Oh, you told me about that. Yeah.
And it happens, like, I swear, like, 7 times throughout the movie. Like, she goes
crazy.
Finds someone to, like, and goes through with the whole rape and then kills them. So it's
and
very,
how
like,
does she react, like, during
she's just,
those
like,
scenes?
I guess, like, just a... I don't even really remember, because I don't really... It's not one I really want to ever revisit. I was like,
no,
wow,
yeah,
this
that sounds
sucks.
Terrible.
But she's not, like, enjoying it, but she's not, mm-hmm. like, freaking out about it, you know?
Okay, and is that, like... Is it, like, kind of like an exploitation film? Or
yeah,
like...
definitely exploitation film. It's from the 80s, though, so it's a little bit,
okay,
like...
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess you can, in a certain way, link that to Miss 45.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like, she is going out of her way not to get raped, but to, like, she's meeting,
like,
these
sketchy
people.
Dudes.
Sketchy people.
Yeah.
And then, like, getting a taste of how sketchy they are and then killing them.
Yeah, if
but
it
that's
happens
nowhere
before
near
the...
on the same level.
Sorry?
But that's, like, nowhere near at the same level. As
yeah,
the
that movie was just completely insane. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, like... I don't get offended by movies easily, but that one was like, you know, what am I watching? Why am I watching this?
Yeah.
But
that's actually
Miss
how
45
I felt.
Definitely, it's more successful.
Sorry?
It was like it's like a more successful movie as far as like it's like fun to watch. You know?
Okay. Yeah. I actually had that feeling when I was watching the 2010 I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah.
I was like. Deeply offended watching that one. I thought it was... Because first of all, I'm just like, I'm okay with violence in films. But for some reason, that one to me was just like so much. It was like really... actually, Roger Ebert had... Because he hates both like the 1977 and the 2010.
I'm sure he does.
Versions of the film. But I have a quote from him on one of my...
Yeah, what does he say about it? I'm so curious.
This version is more offensive because it lingers lovingly and at greater length on realistic verbal, psychological, and physical violence against the woman, and then reduces her revenge to cartoonish horror flick impossibilities. Which is really valid, honestly.
Yeah, I feel... I definitely can see that.
Because, like, I found... In the 1977 I Spit on Your Grave, the revenge that she gets, it's, like, it's a lot, but it's never, like, the weird, like, Saw, like, revenge plans from the 2010 version. Like, they're, like, super, yeah, they're, like, cartoon villainy almost.
It's like, a weird juxtaposition between, like, the, how realistic they try to make the rape and then, like... how insane the torture scenes are. But I did like, I liked it when Damien from Mean Girls was getting his eyes pecked out. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was bad casting. That was weird casting.
Yeah, that was like the worst casting I've
ever seen. It's gonna be like, when you think about it, the same age demographic watching both of those films.
Yeah, true.
So it's like, why do that? But hey. Yeah, they also incorporated like the voyeurism aspect with the camera, which was, I don't know if it did anything. I guess it can be, like, it's the same as, like, I don't know, like, in the original, the whole castration scene was supposed to be, like, ooh, they're castrating the audience for enjoying the scene. That's what people were saying.
Oh, then, yeah.
So, I guess.
They kind of do that in Revenge, too, where, like, the guy is, there's a lot of, like, shot counter shots of, like, the creepy hunter dudes, like, looking at her dance and, like, filming her and stuff.
Yeah.
Then later she, like, stabs the guy's eyes out.
That's
which
true.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, that makes sense with, well, obviously that was, like, what was happening in the 2010 I Spit on Your Grave with the, you know, you like to watch, and then...
Right.
The eyes getting taken out. But, so yeah, I guess, because there's no... I know there is a scene like that in the 2010 I Spit on Your Grave with the whole, the contraption... she makes when she's cutting off the guy's dick at the end.
I must have, like, blocked that part out. I know I watched the whole movie, but...
yeah, that, it was, like, not as... Because in the original, it was, like, I guess sexual. Well, because she's, like, seducing him in the original.
Yeah.
There was no subtext in the 2010 version. Like, everything was just so obvious to me. To the point where it stopped being enjoyable, because she'd be like, remember exactly these words you said to me, and then says it right back and, like, flips it. So I can understand what they were trying to do with it, but it had, like, no nuance at
it's
all.
It's a weird one to remake, I think, too. Like, I just think of so many, like, good movies from the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, exploitation movies that I would like to see, like, remade, and that one mm-hmm. is, like, I don't know. It's not a great choice.
I also don't know, like, were they trying to update? I guess I can see how they might have been trying to update the way, what's the character's name?
Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew. I can see that how they might have been trying to update that. I guess they also, because maybe
yeah, it's only,
people,
like, vaguely less, like, cartoonish.
Yes. Yeah. And they did incorporate, too, the cop.
Right, yeah.
Which was ridiculous to me. Yeah. But
and it's like, oh, we're talking about, like, corruption and, like, in the, you know, in law
yeah.
enforcement. It's like, yeah, so many movies have done that. It's not
yeah, it's
really,
like,
adding that much to it.
Such, like, a cartoon villain, too.
Yeah.
Which was weird. And it was, like, not at all even, like, a twist.
It was, like, obviously that guy's gonna, like,
yeah,
rape her, you know?
I'm sure you know this, but the, it got turned into a franchise.
Yeah, I saw, because I was watching it on Tubi, and they have all of them on there.
Yeah, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
Like, how can you create a franchise around, like, gang rape and revenge?
Yeah, around, like, barely
like
anything.
And it's just, I don't know, that's when I think it's taken a little far.
Yeah.
Because... like, the rape revenge film is essentially, like, a fantasy. But the whole fact, you know, like, just showing that much violence at the beginning is a bit concerning for that to be, like, an entire genre. I don't know. It just seems like it's exploiting this phenomenon that is already kind of, like, a touchy subject in film. But, yeah, I just don't... it seems unnecessary.
I really don't, like, I can't imagine, like, that they all got released in theaters, you know?
Did they? They were all released in theaters?
I mean, I can't imagine. I feel like at the fourth one, like, you have to, it has to be, like, video or something.
Yeah.
You know?
And from what I've read, they continue being, like, they get consistently more tasteless.
That tracks with, like, a lot of horror kind of sequels that get made.
Well, what did you think of American Mary?
I love that movie. I think it's so, like, I just think the special effects are, like, really cool. And it's cool that they use, like, people with, like, actual body modifications for effect.
Yeah. I remember
I think
seeing
it's a fun
it
one.
On TV a lot when I was a kid.
Really?
And I never finished. Yeah, it was always playing on, like, one of those, like, HBO channels. It wasn't, like, just on the TV or anything. But, yeah, I just always remember, like, the twins. That was always, like, on TV. It always stuck in my mind a lot. But that one was interesting because it is a rape revenge film. But it, like, kind of flipped I Spit on Your Grave on its head with having, like, the rapist be a richer character. And yeah, I thought this one was physically interesting.
You know, like, a physically beautiful, like, man is, like, the worst of them all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and this one's, like, you know, inside her school. And it's just, like, a very obvious personal connection there. And,
it kind of is a little bit of the same deal.
Yeah, for sure. But also, it's not the main plot of the film, which I think added a lot to it, because I mean, how many times can you just remake, like, a straightforward I Spit on Your Grave, like, rape revenge film? After a while, you know, you get it.
Yeah,
you don't need 1,000 versions of essentially the same thing.
I think that's why I like Miss 45 and American Mary a lot, because, like, the rape is what triggers them to, like, go do something else, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, and it's not just seeking. It's not that simple. It's not that clear cut. Because, I mean, I was at a Comic-Con panel. I was on the Comic-Con panel, like, last summer. And this person brought up rape revenge films and was asking, like, you know, you don't hear about them as much. How do you think they're still relevant? And that stayed on my mind for a while. And, you know, after seeing, like, all these different rape revenge films, I mean, like, I could totally understand how you could argue that they're not necessarily not necessary and not very relevant anymore, because after so many, you just get it.
Yeah.
And unless you're adding something new to that, like, I don't understand really what the point would be.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, of all the new ones, I think the weakest ones are ones that stick with that formula.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I can see how Elle has its merits, but I just thought it was, like, kind of, like, I didn't really want to watch that. Like, I don't know. Someone get, like, brutally attacked and then attack someone else is, like, okay to a certain extent, but it stops being satisfying after a while. Like, even, like, the shock value, like, it loses a lot of its shock value, so I don't, but I mean, a lot of people,
Elle was, like, an interesting one. It was, like, super, I only watched it recently because we were talking about Paul Verhoeven, and I knew that was a rape revenge movie, so I was like, oh, I should watch that for this week, you know.
Yeah, that one was crazy. There was so much going on.
Yeah, it was. I liked the main character a lot. I think that was, like, the main thing that I enjoyed about the film. Like, the plot was, like, a little, like, it kind of wasn't very, like, linear and didn't make a whole ton of sense. But I just like how, like, I really, like, enjoy, a cold, calculated, like, female lead character, you know?
And I mean, and that is, like, a different take that you don't necessarily see in some of the other films. Like, you see, like, obvious, and, like, all ways that people are reacting in these films, like, the victims are, like, perfectly valid, you know. I mean, I guess you can argue that killing isn't, but, like, I don't know, it's just, like, a different take on, I guess, how the victim reacts to the rape, which you don't, I haven't seen.
No, it's like, it was an interesting one, especially because of her distrust for, like, authority and stuff. And
She
kind of is never, she's never, like, a victim. Like, you never really feel that bad for her, you know?
No, yeah, and at the end, when they're in the car together, I feel like we should explain. Do you think we should explain what happens?
Okay, yeah. Elle was a Paul Verhoeven movie. It came out in 2016, and it's about, like, a female business person who she has, like, a video game company that does, like, tentacle porn or something.
Yeah, is it, like, a video game?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a video game.
Yeah.
And she gets her house, like, intruded on by, like, a masked guy who rapes her, like, And then comes back, like, a few days later, does the same thing. Because her... A lot of layers, but because her dad was, like, a serial murderer when she was 10, she doesn't feel like she can go to the police to... For them to solve it, so she solves her own rape, basically.
But also, there's another interesting element where, the rapist is actually someone who she's very sexually interested in.
Yeah.
And has, like, she does have, like, voyeuristic tendencies. Like, she, in a certain point, is, like, looking out the window, looking at him with, what are those things you put on your eyes? What are those called?
Binoculars?
Yeah. Binoculars. Forgot. Yeah. So, looking at him with binoculars, like, masturbating. So then when she, like, unmasks him, it's like, whoa. And then, like, you know, they're, like, they're still talking after. They still, like... They still have sex after, too. In, like, a way where she's, like, aware of what's going on.
Yeah, and he's almost, like, when she, like, starts to, like, show, like, interest, he's like, no, that's not how I want it, basically. Yes. And so they both kind of, like, have this kind of crazy moral ambiguity where, I don't know. Like, she's not the perfect, like, heroine who's gonna murder him, and she doesn't even end up murdering him. It's, like, her son who does.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, at the same time, she does have, like, that moment in the car where she's like, I'm going to go to the police because I don't know how many times you've done this before.
Yeah, and, like, how many times he's gonna do it in the future.
Exactly, yeah. You know? So it's, like, I guess in the same spirit of, like, Miss 45, where it's, like, I'm doing this for, like, all victims.
And it's interesting how, like, even when she knows it's him, he still breaks into her house wearing a mask.
I know, yeah. But I guess that is what, like, would turn him on the most. So I guess in a way it makes sense.
Yeah. It's pretty, like, an interesting
movie. Yeah, it was so, like... I'm very happy I saw it, but I left very, like, whoa.
Yeah, so like, much. I almost don't even know how it fits into the rest of the discourse, you know? Because it's such, like, a, kind of, like, a unique, weird movie.
Yeah, and it's, like, when I was watching it, I was, like, is this a rape revenge film? But it, like, it is, but there's so much going on that, like, clouds that. But again, that's what I think... works in a way, like, we're talking about, like...
Like, there needs to be more than just, like, a rape and a revenge.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I loved American Mary so much. With American Mary, I guess the character's main trait isn't just being, like, a victim of rape. Or just, like, being from the city, or just being, like, I don't know, the mistress of a rich man. Because if you think about it, I mean, it's, like... A lot of these films are just more action-based than character-based, which is, like...
Yeah, and in Revenge, you don't even know, like, she has, like, some dream or something, but you don't even know what it is at all.
Yeah, it's very odd. Okay, another weird thing with Revenge is that I think, to a certain extent, it falls into the whole superwoman trope.
What is that?
Where it's just like, you know, have you seen the last Avengers film?
No.
Okay, I saw that one. I hadn't seen any of them prior to that. And it's so weird because it's just like, there's like this strong female character trope in a lot of recent superhero films where the character is just like so serious and just so like work driven and they have like no emotions and they're kind of just like robots that kick ass. And it's really weird. It's just like too... Like, put together to the point where it's, like, a completely unrelatable character.
No, totally. I'm a big fan of, like, Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay, I haven't seen
those. And that's how every single female character in those is.
Which is, like, an overcorrection, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, Revenge didn't, like, fully fit into that. But at the same point, I got... It was, like, a little annoying at times, if that makes sense. Just, like...
Yeah, it's, like, what... Nothing's gonna kill her, like...
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you can say the same for all of those characters, because all of those characters should have died so many times. like the bloodbath at the end.
So yeah, that know, was that was awesome though. That was like I think that saved the movie for me.
Okay, yeah.
Just because it was such a cool scene where they're like running around that modern house, just and it's like the walls are completely covered in blood.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's like, I don't know, there's so many films that I wanted to touch on in this episode, but there's just like so many, you know, like there's, like we were talking about The Last House on the Left before. Going into this, I was kind of under the assumption that they were kind of, for the most part, unnecessary, you know, continuing on making these films. But, you know, watching American Mary or Miss 45 or even, you know, like Elle, was really interesting to me to just, you know, have rape be like a major part of the plot point and not just like a passing thing, but also not having it linger on it to the point where it kind of just becomes a little gross or too like simplistic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It's I feel like it's one of those things where, because like society has not moved beyond like rape, you know.
So yeah, exactly. So like and the thing is, like, you don't want to make it so it's like, oh yeah, no one can talk about this, or like if you do it, but it's like, yeah, it just to have it done in at least a sort of tasteful way is It's always going to be, like, a touchy subject.
Yeah, for sure.
To discuss.
Yeah, I feel like as long as, like, rape is still something that happens, like, there is an opportunity for there to be different interpretations of it through film, you know?
Yeah.
And for those to be, like, valuable and entertaining to watch.
For
like,
sure. 'Cause
for me, like, watching, like, somebody, like, a rape victim, like, brutally murder the rapist is like super cathartic and like fun.
Yeah, and it is like a satisfying fantasy, especially like when you're seeing that for the first time. I saw I Spit on Your Grave like a pretty long time ago, and like I've never loved it, but as it being one of the first rape revenge films that I saw, I was like, I was satisfied with what I was getting out of it.
No, totally.
So but yeah, again, I just my issue, I guess, stems from the concept of, like, making that, like, its own thing. Like, having, like, an I Spit on Your Grave franchise. Just, like, why
and
are you trying
like,
to, like,
is the
make
revenge just an excuse to show the rape, you know? When it feels like an excuse to show the rape, then the movies become, like, significantly less fun to watch.
Yeah, and, like, okay, like, the 2010 I Spit on Your Grave, the rape scenes, like, last for, like, over half the film. I was shocked when they were over, and I checked how much time was left in the film, and it was, like, 30 minutes, maybe?
I know. I thought it was going to be over, and then another one happened, and then, like, another one happened, and it was just, like, at a certain point, it's like, we get it, you know?
Yeah, and the original one is long, but it's, like, the rape scene is long, but, like, the revenge part sticks in my mind a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. I also really like it, like, I don't know, it might just be because I, like outfits and stuff like that. Like I love it when the lead characters like get all done up to murder the rapist. Like something's like so satisfying about that to me.
I know, yeah. Yeah, especially like there's like in I Spit on Your Grave, I loved the scene where she's about to kill Matthew and she's wearing like that nightgown.
Yeah, and her hair is like amazing. Like those even like stick out to me more than some of the rape scenes, like the outfits they wear when they're murdering, you know. They're just
and
awesome.
It's the same with like, you know, like the nun Halloween costume in Miss 45.
I just watched Euphoria too and I was like, "Oh my god, that's what they were referencing."
Oh, really? That. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that one has like I didn't realize how big of an influence it had on like a lot of different films.
And just yeah, the director, like, Abel Ferreira, like, he's, like, a festival circuit kind of guy now.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's if you look at his films now, like, they're all, like, super kind of serious. But I love his trajectory because I was, like, looking him up a little bit after watching that because I liked it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the first movie he ever made was porn.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
it was,
wow,
like, a feature-length, like, porno flick. And the last movie he ever made, which he's still making movies, but the most recent one, is like a Willem Dafoe like festival movie, like psychosexual kind of.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm gonna have to check out more of those.
I just thought it was really interesting. I was like, wow, this guy has had like some kind of career, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to check out any of the films that we were talking about, we talked about Lipstick, Deliverance, I Spit on Your Grave, both the 1977 and the 2010 version, Miss 45, American Mary, Revenge, and Elle.
Next week, we're going to be talking about female representation in action films, and we're going to be looking at some recent interpretations as well as exploitation films from the 70s. Zoom out.